Compliance is a profession where people work tirelessly to make the world a better place. And there are hundreds of amazing and inspiring women who have helped the field develop into what it is today. Great Women in Compliance is part of the Compliance Podcast Network, so join Mary Shirley and Lisa Fine as they talk with women in compliance who are making a difference.
Welcome to the Great Woman in Compliance podcast with Lisa Fine and Mary Shirley. Both of us are with you today. I'm Mary Shirley, and I'm going to be upfront and candid because that's what we're famous for in New Zealand with our direct communication, but always respectful and polite because that's key. This is an episode of absolutely no substance whatsoever. So if you're looking to learn from a technical perspective, please skip on past this one and move to another episode. We are thrilled to be celebrating our 100th anniversary with you, our 100th episode. We started out in December of 2018, and I think we've said many times now, we really never expected much of an audience beyond family and very, very loyal friends. And it has grown far, far beyond that to almost every corner of the globe, to over 200 listens per episode, which is just massive when you think about the size of the demographic of our target. So what we thought we would do for our 100th is something a little bit special and different. And Lisa and I looked up ideas for what other people did for their 100th. And initially I was quite bored because a lot of the ideas were things that we'd already done in terms of having guests along to the show, inviting audience participation and so on. So we thought, no, this isn't good enough. We want something really special. So in essence, what we came up with was a two-pronged episode, which first, of course, includes you all as our listeners. And we sent out a series of prompts for you to comment on, including your most impactful, memorable moments, your learnings. And we've compiled those, and Lisa and I will take turns reading those out. And the second section is the wikis, which was a joint idea between Lisa and myself, to recognize those within our community and the broader community with regards to contributions to ethics and compliance. I would say at the outset that there are many people beyond who we would mention today that we're incredibly grateful to and appreciate both in our personal lives and our professional lives. So especially if you're personal friends with us and you don't hear your name on the list, please don't take that as anything personal. These are a little bit of fun, they're lighthearted, and for that reason we're even avoiding using the word award. They're kind of like the positive Razzies, but specifically the Gwickies. So look forward to that in part two, and we will now kick off with the memories, unless Lisa, you'd like to add something.
Well, I'm just going to add one other thing about the Gwickies. For those of you who watched The Office during COVID, you may have remembered the Dundies as well. So we're hoping that this is slightly more relevant to that and at least is entertaining. And like Mary said, we are so grateful for the community, the listeners, and we hope you all have as much fun listening to this as we have both putting it together and as we're planning to have as we record. So with that, Mary, I will have you kick off our memories and feedback.
Super. Thank you, Lisa. So the first one is from Nick Gallo of Compliance Line. The Erica Chung episode was one of my faves for sure. It really articulated well the feeling of a whistleblower and the internal conflict that one who actually ends up speaking up goes through on their path to raising the red flag. We have used this episode in several conversations with prospects to check it out so they can get a better feeling of what people may be going through. So I love that a vendor has used one of our episodes as a tool for business development and helping potential clients get some insight into the world of speaking up from someone who's had one of the most difficult experiences speaking up.
Okay, great. So the next one is from Chad Kleist, and I think this is fantastic. It's the conversation we had with Dr. Gentile. He felt her same frustration with teaching academics in academia and rationalizations. He has a PhD in philosophy and in global ethics and feminism and felt validated. He also got sick of going through moral dilemmas, although he hopes he made a positive impact on his students, which I'm sure he did. Started his corporate career focusing on training, communication, and ethics. So, like Dr. Gentile, he believes in the general value and benefits of providing the tools for people to do the right thing. In general, love the stories that we share and our guests share, and that so many of us can relate. And it's just a friendly reminder that we are never in this alone. And I think that being in this alone, it can feel that way some days, but we're not. And I so appreciate you mentioning that for us, Chad, and thank you for that.
Super. The next one here is Naomi Miller. She says, I've gained a lot from the GWIC podcast, especially seeing the scope of roles that fall under the compliance profession. More specifically, she feels that we sprinkle very valuable lessons in throughout each episode. She's learned that the compliance profession is about so much more than ensuring your organization abides by rules and regulations. It's about embodying ethics and establishing standards that will inspire others within your organization to do the same. This means ethics in all aspects of personal life, and then she's got in brackets, and personal life, including treating others with respect, being unafraid to speak out when something doesn't seem right, and expecting honesty from yourself and those around you. So a real embrace of the culture of integrity, understanding, and the broader ethics value that compliance brings. Thank you, Naomi.
And our next one is from Rashada Timke, who has been a great member of this community in so many different ways. And she says she just got a chance to hear the episode with Joya Williams. She actually made a mental note to repost it, and that so much of what she had said aligned with Neta Madav's mission with Vault, which is one of her favorite episodes. I just loved it, by the way, that you've connected those two. I remember listening to that one feeling so inspired. And as fate would have it, I would end up working within that realm months later. There's no doubt that that discussion helped inform her perspective on the matter, and she was able to speak about it confidently in her interviews. She also loved the conviction Joya demonstrated when it comes to doing the right thing, no matter what, and increasing representation of Black female compliance and risk officers for obvious reasons. And I think that that's just a fabulous comment and thought for us to be keeping in mind. And it's something that Mary, I think we both want to keep continuing doing as we go forward.
And big love to Rashada.
Yeah.
The next one is Lisa Shaw Babin, and Lisa Fine and I will take turns reading this one and a couple of the others out. So Lisa responded to the prompt, anything that she heard or learned about that then became a part of her life, work, or personal. She says, having my first writing piece published and sending the elevator back down was a watershed moment for me, professionally and personally. I have always wanted to write, and when the pandemic hit, I was committed to taking advantage of the time to do just that. I had always imagined autobiographical or even fiction writing, but the words were just not coming to me. Then one day on LinkedIn, I saw your post soliciting submissions, and I decided to just go for it. The rest is history. After that, the words started flowing, and I found myself committing my reflections to writing on the nexus between current events and ethics and compliance topics. I've written 3 articles so far, and I'm getting lots of encouragement to keep going. I'm also enjoying it.
So with that, I mean, one of the other things that Lisa Shaw Babin mentioned was that her last post as an SCCE blog is about the job search in the ethics and compliance world. You can note from the blog how much of her journey she attributes to GWIC and other similar wonderful network of professionals that have both supported and enriched her along the way and helped lead towards her North Star. She started listening to the voice in her head and to a few little birdies on her shoulder and has decided to launch her own ethics and compliance consulting practice. That is fabulous. So in answer to the prompt, she attributes much of the strength that she has found to forge her new path and the things that she heard and learned from the generosity of spirit and from others that she's encountered along the ways. And Matt, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
So I'll follow up with one more from Megan Sloat. And one of the things I love about these is it reminds me of things in interviews that I may not have thought as much about recently, but this is great. So, So she talks about the interview with Kim Yapchai and how it really resonated with her. Megan came from a legal background and had similar feelings about compliance before really diving into it. She related to Kim's story and began to think of compliance in a different way after listening to that interview and her views on transformational leadership. She also loved that she mentioned other women who have contributed to her success. I still think about her comments about approaching the design of a compliance program from an employee point of view and how she used humor from a Second City video to connect with people. That's a fantastic approach, and she can only hope to connect with others in a similar way.
Wonderful. The next one's an anonymous one. I listened to Mary's recent soliloquy podcast with four rants and a few shout outs. One of the rants about the treatment of candidates going through the job search and interview process by the hiring managers really resonated. I agree with everything you said. Mary loves it when you say that, and mostly experienced it firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
Like laughing at me for speaking in the third person.
No, I totally agree with it too, though. And here we have one talking about an aha moment. So when Fernanda Baraldi, who was one of our guests as well, realized her efforts to better herself as a leader and as a compliance professional, as well as her life as an immigrant in America, and that could be inspiring to other diverse compliance women. She says, after reading a lot of Brené Brown, this is her words, not mine, LOL, but true, that practicing vulnerability, despite scary at first, and it continues to be, is the best way to build trust with people quickly. So she decided to share more about her story, not because it's a good one, but because it may help people deconstruct certain assumptions, as well as help other people walking a similar path. One thing that she implemented from the podcast was when Lisa Beth Lentini talked about engagement with mentors and how they can really impact someone's career. Fernanda mentions how she has a few mentors for her professional and personal life, and she mentors people as well. She decided to make herself more available for mentorships and can give back to the community somehow. And she's given back a tremendous amount.
Absolutely. And then the next one, Lisa and I will be going back and forth. It's a lovely one with many different angles from Donna Schneider, who you may remember was GWIC number 98. Most memorable podcast moment. This was the recent Rant and Raves podcast you did, which echoed how I felt about some sales calls I also receive. I've been disappointed lately by the lack of professionalism with some vendors, and your comments really spoke to me. And most of all, let me know I was not alone in this regard. I try to return all calls and respond to all emails in a timely manner. However, when I too have been the recipient of unprofessional behavior, it is very disappointing. So a little message there for our sales listeners, but I'm sure if you're listening to us, you are not one of these disappointing people.
And if you are, you should go listen to Mary's Rants and Raves podcast for some helpful Indeed. Reminders. Mm-hmm. So something that really resonated with me, and this is also from Donna, from the podcast, is this camaraderie of the compliance profession. Learn something in each and every episode. And the reason for that is the generosity of time and knowledge that the guests provide. And as a seasoned professional, the podcast has re-inspired her, which has been an awesome discovery during the pandemic.
Love that.
And then another one is something that she's learned about that then became part of her life, work or personal. For her and for many of the people, and we've had a lot of wonderful feedback on this, is sending the elevator back down consistently and authentically. Mm. The podcast and the book solidified her focus on mentorship, not only in healthcare compliance, but also in compliance both in and out of healthcare. She feels as if she learns more than she teaches in mentoring others, and the podcast and the book have brought her there.
Great. And the final facet from Donna is in regards to anything that was heard or learned from the podcast that you successfully implemented in your compliance program. For me, it is really the sharing of information, not only in the written word, but also by video. I will be doing a GWIC type interview along with one of our HR business partners to talk about compliance and privacy investigations to demystify those events for our workforce. This was inspired by Mary and the Great Woman in Compliance podcast. So that was the tip that I gave at the end of Donna's episode a couple of weeks ago. Thank you for that, Donna.
And here's another one from Megan Sloat. And she says she's honored to contribute to our 100th episode. And she mentioned she's a relative newcomer to the compliance world and has really enjoyed going back through the podcast. She's inspired by our careers and has learned so much from the interviews and listening to other women in the industry. One of the first podcasts she listened to was a 2019 episode. Remember that? Those were the pre-COVID days where we compiled submissions from women across the industry and discussed their best professional advice. Build your network before you need it was the very first comment, and it was exactly the advice that she needed at the time. She's taken that to heart and done her best to reach out and connect with as many compliance professionals as possible who discuss important and relevant topics. She's learned a great deal by reading articles and listening to podcasts that she never would have been exposed to if it was not for that advice and making those connections.
Fantastic. And props to Christy Grant-Hart, who supplied that evidence, that tip about building your network before you need it. I think that resonated with a lot of people. The next one is from Sharon Kimowitz, who is a former colleague of mine. Sharon says that she's made a number of new connections through the podcast community. Since she started listening, she's had conversations with Kirsten Liston, Lisa Beth Lentini Walker, and Kelly Paxton. Sharon has got in brackets here. I admit that I need to catch up with the recent episodes, and now looking at the list, realize that I've also connected with a number of people of your other guests through the Compliance Career Connection. She's also had one-on-one conversations with others who she's met on that forum, so I'm glad to hear that Compliance Career Connection is working. And she's continuously surprised by the high level of interaction on these group and individual Zoom calls. And she feels that if she met those people on the street, in a restaurant or a conference, we would pick it up as friends. Each person seems truly interested in helping others. It's certainly been a strange year, but she might not have met these interesting people across the country in an ordinary time when days would have been filled with local in-person events. Thanks, Sharon.
The next one is from Mel Sponholz, who was she what, number 99 then? I just was at the last week. I mean, I knew it was recently. Mm-hmm. If you've missed that one, once you're done with this, you can get some real good substance there. So with that, she says, thank you so much for all the time and effort you put into delivering consistently first-class content. Here's her story of connection as a result of WIC. She had been following Ellen Hunt, and she calls it fangirly, for some time on LinkedIn, and she's not alone in that. Same with me. I did that. After listening to her interview on WIC in February of 2020, she worked up the nerve to reach out to her. She used her thoughts on the podcast as an icebreaker and asked if she'd be willing to connect. Of course, Ellen being Ellen, graciously responded. She ended up presenting on leadership to her WCP compliance forum and has since become a mentor and friend. So thank you, WIC, for the inspiration and impetus to connect. Just one of the few of many ways that the contact has enriched the profession, her professional development. I would say the reason why that resonates so much with me is that Ellen was also my first interview for WIC, mm-hmm. and has become an advocate and a friend and a mentor.
Mm. So. When Lisa and I were preparing for this episode, we divided up the work, and that's exactly why I assigned you that particular to read out, Lisa. So the next one is from Boon Kim Fan, all the way from China. Kudos to both Mary and Lisa on achieving the 100th podcast of the Great Woman in Compliance podcast. What a significant milestone achieved, and the impact these podcasts have had both on compliance professionals and the wider business community has been incredible. For me personally, speaking up has always been a topic of key interest and will continue to be an area which I will continue to champion. It comes as no surprise, of course, that Mary's interview with Erica Cheung, one of the whistleblowers of Theranos, truly struck a chord. One of the key takeaways from this podcast was that what companies fail to realize is that these conscientious employees really care for the company, and they're the ones who are most likely to speak up. So it's the responsibility and duty of any organization serious enough about their compliance program to uphold, respect, protect, and empower good faith reporters within the organization. Please continue to keep up the good work. Thank you for the enthusiasm, Kim.
And this one is from Sarah Crowder and has talked about some moments in some of the different podcasts, which I think are fantastic. So with Mary Ibrahim, thought Mary's public speaking advice was very helpful, including the advice to speak with purpose and own the message. She found that it can be easy to become self-conscious and self-critical during public speaking, and it has helped her to shift the focus to what she is saying rather than judging herself for how she's saying it. For Allison Taylor, she met Allison years ago at a compliance event in London where she spoke on her transition from compliance work to human rights and corporate responsibility. She's since followed her writing with great interest and has a lot of respect for her thought leadership. Hearing about her career journey when she first saw her speak also gave Sarah the confidence to branch out from compliance into business and human rights when those opportunities presented themselves. Like me, she always hears a lot from hearing Allison speak, and including on the podcast episode with her. Mm. of course, one of our, you know, dear friends and compliance, you know, mentors to almost everyone, Lisa Beth Lentini Walker, she appreciated the advice about focusing on what is important and not pouring from an empty cup. This is common sense advice that she's heard many times before, but it's advice that she needs to keep on hearing. 10 years into her career, she struggles to set boundaries and take time off when she needs it, especially in this past year when it's not been possible to take a proper holiday. And last one is Tiffany Archer, but not least, is Tiffany's non-negotiables, discipline, excellence, and integrity really resonated with her, both personally and in terms of key drivers of effective compliance programs. So.
Wonderful.
So thank you all for those who, you know, put in your those different wonderful points. We're very grateful, and we are grateful for all of the contributions and to keep the discussion going in the LinkedIn community for GWIC as well, if you have more things you think about from this. So with this, Mary, do you think we should turn it over to the GWICies?
I think so.
Now, just to manage some expectations here. These are not going to become an annual event. We're not exactly sure how it will play out, but we had a lot of fun. And again, we hope you enjoy it, and we hope that it brings you some good memories and some recognition of people and organizations who've done different things on all different levels. So, you know, this is not going to be confused by anybody for the, you know, process for the, I would say the Oscars, but they did mess something up there a couple of years ago. But in any event, let's just go. And Mary, do you want to start? Let me see how we're starting on the GWIC. So without any further ado, I certainly hope all of the recipients who don't know that when they're listening to this podcast have gotten dressed up.
So it feels like we should have some kind of ceremonious music at this point, but we didn't prepare that much. So we'll just leave it to your imagination to consider some pomp and circumstance for us. The first one is the opportunity to turn a negative into a positive GWIC. I'm awarding that to SolarWinds, fairly bungled cybersecurity issue there, many areas of opportunity. But the wonderful thing is just about every brilliant compliance program has been reborn from the ashes of a bungled scandal. So SolarWinds, a fantastic opportunity for you to forge ahead here, low-hanging fruit, and then all you have to do is just a sort of compliance 2.0 spin, do something exceptionally advanced when you add that to your program, and you can really come up glowing from this, as many companies have in the past. And I'm thinking Siemens now has one of the best compliance programs, is recognized for that. BP, after the oil spill, they actually turned that into a marketing opportunity afterwards, after they'd cleaned up. If you handle this correctly, you could turn it into a positive. So we'll be watching you, SolarWinds.
Mary, should we rename that next year or whenever we do this? You never waste a good crisis.
Yes, I can do that. I haven't marked up my document yet for them. And I actually don't know anyone at SolarWinds to pass this on. I'm not sure they'll get their GWIC tangible form, if you will. But if anyone is listening from SolarWinds and you like to collect your GWIC, just get in touch and we will absolutely manage the Never Waste a Good Crisis nomination there. The next one is Awesome Achievement for 2020 GWIC. This goes to Zimmer Biomet for completing their monitorship. And by all accounts that were sort of publicly known, that was a really challenging monitorship to get through signed off on that last year, I think it was. All my days have rolled into one, unfortunately, during the pandemic. I think it was last year. So well done to Zimmer Biomet on your awesome achievement. Oh, yes, Awesome Achievement 2020. I even prodded myself there and I still bungled it. You're not alone, SolarWinds. You're not alone.
So the next one is for a COVID hero. And this is pretty general. It's Zoom. Granted, we did interviewed Lynn Holland, who is at Zoom. But I don't think if somebody told me about a year ago how many times I would use the word Zoom every day, and it would become a part of social life, work life. So I really thought that the fact that they were able to step up as an organization, address the unique concerns that come from suddenly being a major communications you know, tool during this pandemic is worthy of some real recognition. I mean, Zoom became, and for many of us, really one of the words and the tools we use most frequently, and the way that they managed to handle it and grow and also stick with their mission, I think was really impressive.
I agree. The next one is contribution to reflection and review of compliance program GLICKY. This goes to Broadcat. One of the recent initiatives they did was interview Hui Chen, and they really broke down and I think drew attention to what we typically provide as or use as information to show for the quality of our compliance programs. And we heard very candidly from Hui what it is that will count and what is really just noise in the background, or even, you know, some parts she referred to as rolling their eyes. So I think that caused a lot of people to think about what it is that they're really measuring as a sign of success for their program. And well done to Broadcat for that unique way of looking at the quality and effectiveness of a compliance program.
All right. The next one is a contribution to diversity, equity, and inclusion, the GWIKI for that. That goes to NABCROMP, the National Association of Black Compliance, Risk, and Management Professionals, and the leader and the founder of this organization, Jennifer Newton. We've spoken with her before, and we really think that while we are a women-focused podcast, diversity in the community as a whole and making the compliance and ethics profession friendlier to as many people, and to make sure we're best addressing risks and that we all keep learning and doing better, is critically important. And the step that NABCROMP has made and that organization has already made such an impact is really something that is worth tons of recognition and very thanks, and we're very grateful.
Absolutely.
And the next one is a new for innovation and compliance consulting. That's for Christy Grant Hart and Spark Consulting for the compliance competitor. I just think that's a fascinating new tool that you can use and that has just come out. And I think it helps, you know, us think about risk and our organizations and assessing these in such a different way. And it also makes it more of a gamification and more fun. I'm thrilled about that and always doing new things to do that. So.
Great points. And then another organization one, I've called this the Delivering Happiness GWIKI. This is for the Capitol Grill. For those of you living outside of the United States, the Capitol Grill is kind of like a chain of restaurants, but it's more upmarket. So it's a steakhouse. And the story behind this is that during the pandemic, and I'm talking about the parts where, you know, really there wasn't a lot of going out, dining out. It was okay to be able to do so, and there was social distancing. But Barbara Beeler and I went along to the Capitol Grill. We'd each gotten new jobs, and we were celebrating our new roles together. And the Capitol Grill, they knew about this. And come the end of the meal, it was only us and one other table at the restaurant. So I don't even know if they would have been breaking even, frankly, on, you know, the costs of being open that day. But what they did was after the main meal, they brought out two glasses of champagne and two desserts for each of us. I adore desserts. They always would have gotten that money from me. And one of my favorite phrases regarding ethics is just because you can doesn't mean you should. And that's in regards to really pushing it a bit when you're doing something that you probably shouldn't be from a moral perspective. And this is the complete opposite. The Capitol Grill was not really in a situation where they could have been freely giving out little extras to the diners. At the time, there were just so few of us, but the fact that they focused on the customer happiness and satisfaction, that made me want to go back. So well done to the Capitol Grill for foregoing potential small gains in exchange for cementing customer loyalty and happiness. And of course, that's in commemoration of the book, Delivering Happiness. which I would add, Lisa, I read that book. I saw your boss put a post up about it on LinkedIn soon after the author tragically passed away. And at first I was sort of like, oh, this is about sales. And I know that inherently we do have sales roles as compliance because we need to get buy-in and we need to persuade people. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really know if it was, you know, designed for people like us. But because it came at the recommendation of your boss, who I hugely respect, I was like, oh, I'll give this a try. And it was awesome. I could not put it down. It was such a great book recommendation. So I don't know if you, or you probably don't know that, but I thought I'd throw that in anyway. So thank you to Danette.
Yes. Well, I do have I will give my boss, Danette Jocelyn-Gall, does get a lot of credit for being, I don't know how she had time to read books and make those recommendations some of the time, but yeah. And I have not read it yet, but I think I will put that on the list though too. So. Sure. All right. I think with that, now we've got some individual awards. And Mary, let's start with you. This one's on behalf of both of us.
Excellent. So best comic relief in compliance wiki. This goes to friend of Mary and Lisa, Jonathan Armstrong. Jonathan is hilarious. There is perhaps no one else that can make a compliance presentation so engaging and so light, and yet be talking on boring topics like GDPR. Kind of kidding. Privacy is one of my least juicy areas. It's one of the areas I started out in, so I feel like I've warranted to be able to say that. But Jonathan can really take a fairly dry subject matter and turn it into lots of laughs. So thank you, Jonathan, for that. You are much appreciated.
Yeah. The next one is for me, and it's like an unsung hero award. And I think, and if everybody's lucky, they have a person on their team or a colleague like this who really makes sure that everything gets done, who always works with a smile, who does amazing work, but is always someone giving credit to other people. And on the team that I've been on at Pearson for the last 2 years, that goes without question to Cindy Merlino. Mm-hmm. For anyone who's worked with her on any sort of project, whether it's at the organization or some of the extracurricular things that she does, it's one of those things that often can be thankless, but I don't know how we do it without her. And I just think everyone is really lucky if you have an unsung hero like that, you know, at some point in your career. I also do joke that sometimes when I get things on a Microsoft planner that says Cindy Merlino has assigned you a task, it does occasionally scare me because I'm not sure what I'm doing next, but I am incredibly relieved that we're all on track. So I really wanted to make sure that Cindy get some recognition on this. She's wonderful. So
love the thought there, Lisa. And even though I don't have the pleasure of working with Cindy on a day-to-day basis like you do, I have had very pleasant interactions with her. And just recently, Cindy and I were talking, and she was so gracious and generous about giving you and I credit for benefiting the GWIC community. And I just think she's such a lovely person, and we don't see enough of those. I mean, there are a lot of lovely people in compliance, but she really takes the time to appreciate people. She stops and she pauses and she says, how can I give back to someone that I feel deserves it? So I'm so glad that you had the Unsung Hero Award for Cindy, because she's someone who truly deserves it. And Cindy, though I don't work with you, I'm so grateful to you for being a part of our community and for making Lisa's workplace such a beautiful place to be. The next one is the Golden Girl Wiki. This one is for a pal and a confidant. Sorry, with my accent, that's probably not coming out so well. Confidant, Barbara Beeler. I won't go into this one too much. Barbara's a super support and a great friend. So Golden Girl for her.
Well, I just want to add, similar to what you said about Cindy, I don't see or talk to Barbara as much as you do, but she is somebody who's been supportive of the community, amplifying lots of different voices. And there are some people that anytime you see their name pop up in your inbox, you're just kind of excited to hear from them. Mm-hmm. She is one of those people. And no matter how much in her former role, where she was coordinated organizing hundreds of people in conferences. She always had a smile on her face, and you always just felt better by being around her.
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Barbara. She can turn a negative into a positive. She has an amazing breadth of experience. She always has really great practical solutions, you know, whether you need advice or she's enhancing an idea you've got. Really just a fantastic, I don't want to use the word resource because that sounds, you know, just very technical, because she's so much more than that from a personal standpoint. But I love the viewpoints you added, Lisa, absolutely spot on.
So the next one, I almost feel like from what we were talking about earlier, I should call it the Gwicky Fangirl Mentor and Advocate of the Year. Mm-hmm. But this is to women we mentioned earlier, Ellen Hunt. I mean, I said as we were speaking about some of the tribute, she really is a person who's incredibly busy and incredibly accomplished and will take time and have a genuine interest and help you build your career. My career and, you know, even podcast guests or experiences have become more. And, you know, she is an advocate, a sponsor, and all of the other, you know, terms that are important, as well as being a mentor, and will help you build your career and be strategic. And again, the fact that she's willing to do that and that she does that so well, there are lots of people out there that are doing that for lots of different people. But I want to say thank you, Ellen, for that.
So that goes to our sort of expectation setting here, that the Gwickies are really kind of personal to Lisa and myself. So please don't challenge our Gwickies if you feel that there is a more deserving winner to you or the community. These ones are...
feel free to recognize them in the community or on LinkedIn or something else. And, you know, we're always happy for other people to name their own Gwickies.
Absolutely. So the next one is Outstanding Contribution to the Compliance Community 2020 Gwicky. This is for Lisa Beth Lentini from Lisa and myself. Lisa Beth has been so giving. There are several people who helped put together the Compliance Career Connection, but Lisa Beth has really done so much of the heavy lifting in terms of the admin, the coordination, frankly, the tasks that no one else wanted to do, and she picked those up and got on with it. She's also done so much for the community in respect of mentor core. She's great at making introductions, referrals, thinking about other people. Actually, Barbara is fantastic in that way as well, I might add. Probably why they're great women in compliance. But Lisa Beth Lentini has really just given it her all during the pandemic, and we're so grateful. I know a lot of this stuff is thankless, as Lisa was referring to when she talked about Cindy's things. So part of the Gwickies was to make sure that we showed some of our personal appreciation to some of those around us. So thank you, Lisa Beth. You are very appreciated, and we're so glad to have you as part of our community.
And I just want to also mention about Lisa Beth. She did some of this while she was building and starting her own business and having to pivot in a way she hadn't anticipated, while a lot of people would be, you know, working on all of the things she needs to work on in her business and as a family. Mm-hmm. At the same time, she mentor core, the Compliance Career Connection. She just gave back. I mean, I don't know how she has the ability to do that, and I don't know if she sleeps, but in any event, it really is to a level that's exceptional. And I think one other person as sort of a WIC connector and networker extraordinaire coming along with that is another one of the people who had the initial idea for the compliance for the CCC, and that's Jay Rosen. Jay, thank you for doing this for all so many people all the time, being the person who makes an effort to reach out and have virtual coffee, to check in on people, to help when it's evident and when it's not, and to really just be a cheerleader and a networker for all of us.
Absolutely. So. Definitely. And then Lisa, I want to be a little bit silly now. I'd really love to name you the coolest guy in compliance Gwicky, and that's sort of a dig at our friend Matt Kelly, who I think likes to think he's the coolest guy in compliance. I'd like to give Lisa Fine that accolade now.
Well, I think Tom Fox generally calls him the coolest guy in compliance also. So in any event, I think that I giggle every time I've heard that, but I've waited my entire life for someone to call me cool. So I'll take it whenever I can. But I mean, we can also say that Matt Kelly has been, as a, from a WIC standpoint, a great self. He's a self-designated advisory committee member and technical support. He helped us put together our first episode. He explained to us basically, you know, how you record yourself, which sounds quaint now, but in any event, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, we didn't really know. We didn't really know. We did not know what we were doing at all. And Matt very kindly sat in and did a tutorial for us for our first three episodes as we sat together in Boston pre-COVID one day. So we're so grateful to Matt for that. And, you know, just being a friend and giving up his morning to come and sit with us. Actually, it ended up being the whole day, didn't it, Lisa?
It was a whole day. We did buy him a drink. So
we did that afterwards. So,
but anyway, things have changed now. We're coming for you on the cool factor.
But we're still giving you a Gwiki for the inauguration assistance that we received from you. So thank you very much, Matt. The next one is for the founders of Compliance Career Connection. Again, potentially another thankless area in some respects. Giving up a lot of time for people to come together and create and establish a forum for job seekers, people who wanted to get to know new people, people who were lonely during the pandemic and risk and compliance, privacy and security, to come together. So we wanted to recognize your efforts from the GWIC team, say thank you for that. And I believe that the efforts are really making a difference, whether you know, someone gets a job or not directly through the events and things. The number of people who have reached out, I think, to us, especially on an individual basis, we seem to hear more than anything that comes specifically into the group, which makes sense because there's no real group contact, I guess. But we have heard some lovely stories about people who have received opportunities, and some of them have been side gig hustles rather than, you know, core jobs. But that's enough, right, to keep the spirits up, the motivation and enthusiasm going throughout this difficult time. So thank you to the founders of Compliance Career Connection. The next one is one from me. This is Super Support Gwiki. This is for Mark Stanley, who I've recognized before from a mentoring and sponsorship perspective. But this one goes beyond the realm, kind of wearing a multi-hat perspective. For those of you who know me personally, you'll know that my father passed away in 2019. And since that time, Mark has not at all patronizingly, and he's much too young to be my father, but Mark has stepped in on many occasions, which has been super helpful. And so for Mark, this is about, I'm no longer a formal charge as a staff member, but he continues to look out for me. So Mark, thank you so much for being a super support. And on that note, wanted to give a shout out to Lisa's dad, who after our launch party reached out to me and sent me the loveliest note. And it really touched me because my dad couldn't be there for it, but it felt like it with Lisa's. And I'm a bit teary because of that.
I'm getting teary too.
Thank you to Bob Fine and to Lisa.
Well, my parents actually really adore Mary, and my father, the first thing when I got off, we got off the launch party, was like, I didn't remember to thank Mary on there for what a good friend and podcast support she's been. I said, but how did I do, Dad? What was my book party? So in any event, he's a wonderful person and a wonderful, you know, I feel, I love that you just said that. You know, it is a nice part. And this part is a little bit emotional for both of us, because I think we're going to talk about a couple of people who helped us from the beginning of the podcast that you all may not know as much about. But that, you know, even though we have full-time jobs, we're not the, you know, we're not the slick advertised professional podcast, because we're not professionals on that. We have a wonderful podcast and we've done some great things. I'm emotional because I feel so lucky that Mary is my first, you know, compliance friend and interview and all that stuff. And, but there are some people who are really our, you know, team. And it is, you know, to quote Drake, we've got a really big team and they need some really nice things, but they're getting a Gwiki, because just thank you for being there for us from day one and being the scene behind the scenes that have always been there for help, support, and encouragement in ways. And the first person is Tom Fox, mm-hmm. who's been our producer, our friend, and was the one who really had us, you know, we started on the Compliance Podcast Network with him, and he's just done a tremendous job, you know, helping us, you know, often laughing at me when I met regularly mangle my first introduction, and makes us sound, you know, really great, and keeps us on. And thank you, Tom. We're so grateful for that.
Echo everything Lisa said there, the sentiments. It is so fun having a team outside my core team. So, of course, there's my Fresenius team, who are fantastic. And then to have a whole nother bunch of colleagues who I get to work with in a side hustle is probably not correct because we don't make any money. But in this labor of love, as Lisa has put it from the start, it's so cool to have different colleagues.
So you want to take the next one, Mary?
Sure. The next one is Best GWIC Sponsor. And this is for Corporate Compliance Insights, who has sponsored us from fairly early on. Sarah Haddon got in touch. She said she liked what we were doing, wanted to be a part of it, and just said, how can I help? She didn't seem self-interested. All she wanted to do was further the cause of advancing and empowering women in risk and compliance. So we have had almost as long a relationship with Sarah on the podcast as we have had with Tom. She has seen us through some interesting things, our photo shoot together, the publishing of the book from her publishing company, and Sarah also is a personal friend to both of us. So Sarah, thank you very much, and you will be getting your GWIKI in the mail soon.
Yeah, and one other thing I want to say about Sarah, when she came up and was encouraging us to work on the book, and we didn't, you know, there's another moment where it was just an incredible feeling. But not only did she do that encouragement, she taught us how to do a lot of the things related to that and was such a good editor. And at times, Mary and I would be very stuck on something we thought was brilliant. And mm-hmm. she also did the thing in such a wonderful way that I wish I could learn from sometimes, sort of telling us no without realizing that she told, without us realizing that she completely put us in another better direction and got rid of whatever bad idea we may have had. Because mm-hmm. there were plenty of things that we thought of that were fabulous that in retrospect, I mean, may not have been. So mm-hmm. That's a real skill to have, to be an editor, a publisher, and a friend to people, especially during a pandemic. And she was amazing with that.
This is making me realize you and I, we've sort of done a few things together where we had absolutely no clue, no experience, no qualifications, and then we just did it together and it turned out okay.
And I mean, we could talk for a while about the, you know, I think we try really hard to work well together and emphasize mm-hmm. each other's strengths and mm-hmm. bring one another up when you need it. And then, you know, be on the elevator the whole time or the lobby. So, and I guess with that, we could just mention the person who came up with the great images and still does for us. We have a graphic designer, Sam Kerner, with the images that he brings in the elevator to when we did the book or updating our podcast page or just other things. And thank you, Sam, for making us look much slicker than I think we really are on that, because I think we'll add that to the category of things we didn't really know how to do.
Definitely still don't know how to do, but it also, I think it helps us make it look cooler, right? Because stuff.
And we now know that's one of my new ambitions. So, mm-hmm. With that, we've ended our GWICs. We hope that this has been entertaining and that you all have enjoyed this snapshot of our journey. And it's not just, when I say our, I don't mean just Mary's and mine. It is this community's journey, because one of the things, the LinkedIn community, the others, the people who reach out, I mean, every time that happens, it feels like just like this accidental gift that keeps giving. And we, as we've now established, we didn't exactly know what we were doing, but I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. And mm-hmm. thank you. I think thank you to all of you that are listening, that have encouraged us, that have listened or, you know, are out there and just listen to it every couple of weeks and think it's great. And we don't hear from you. We'd love to, but we wouldn't be able to do it without this group. And thank you for bringing us from hoping that 12 people, including our families, would listen to it, to us being able to have this lovely experience of talking about it today. And with that, on behalf of Mary and I, we will end this podcast, say thank you to all. We are going on a couple weeks of a hiatus so that we can become professional again. And everybody enjoy your week. And this is pre-Easter weekend. So for those of you on Passover, enjoy that. Any other holiday I'm missing, let me know. And thank you all.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Great Women in Compliance. We hope you'll join us in honoring the great women in the compliance field by subscribing to this podcast and leaving a review.